It's part of the bedrock of our worldview that we believe Jesus will come again.
Let me make that statement. It is important to live each day as if he's returning and to know the seasons. The Bible tells us we're wise because they understood the times.
Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm Jonathan Bernis, joined again by my co-host Ezra Benjamin, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Many are looking at everything going on around us and seeing times of confusion. People are looking for clarity, looking for purpose in their lives, looking for purpose for their children and their grandchildren, but they only see a world of problems and chaos. Ezra, the question that we want to talk about today will give us insight into the days that the Bible speaks about are ahead, and perhaps give us insight into the days we're living in now.
That's
right. So the question is, when will Jesus return? Are we near the return of Jesus to this earth?
Right. Such an important question and so much speculation around it, Jonathan. You know, all of us as believers in Jesus, it's fundamentally, it's part of the bedrock of our worldview and our hope and expectation, right, that we believe Jesus will come again to rule as the King of Kings, to judge wickedness on the earth, to reign with the righteous who will be resurrected from the dead, with those who have put their hope and their faith in him. And yet, I think, Jonathan, I see two errors, perhaps, in how we deal with the subject of return of Jesus in the last days. One is to just stay in ignorance, to say, it doesn't matter, you know, the Lord will work it all out, I don't need to understand anything. And so we're ignorant of the times and seasons. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we can be speculative, right? And, you know, you and I have seen, I'm sure you at home have seen, you know, Jesus is coming back in 1984. Jesus is coming back on this date in 2012. And none of those things happened.
Right.
It was all speculation.
Right.
And
yeah.
So the no question
man,
we're
No
gonna,
man knows the day.
Exactly.
No man knows the hour. And when we try to state with any sort of certainty that he's coming back on a specific date, it's always wrong. And the result is that people lose their faith.
Exactly. And yet the Lord, it actually says a number of times in the scriptures, the writer of the scriptures says, or the writers say, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters. I want you to understand the times and seasons you're living in. And so what we want to unpack today, Jonathan, is what are the scriptural anchors that we all can hold on to so we can understand the times and seasons we're in.
Yeah. So while we don't date,
right,
this is the day, this is the month, or
right,
this is the hour,
right,
the Bible's very clear. Pay attention to the season.
Right.
Pay attention to the surroundings, or you'll get, or you'll be indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
You'll grow into a state of apathy, and you'll actually get sucked into
right,
a world system that will pull you further and further away from even caring about that.
Exactly.
And it is important. Let me make that statement. It is important to live each day as if he's returning and to know the seasons. The men of Issachar, the Bible tells us, were wise because they understood the times.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we need to understand
you
the times.
You want to be wise, understand the times and seasons. And Jonathan, people may be saying, well, how do you know no one can know? Or how do you know we're supposed to understand the seasons? We see both of those principles in Matthew 24. This is Jesus. This is Yeshua, we say in Hebrew. His name means salvation. Teaching his disciples about the times yet to come. Between the day that they were living in and when he would come again, when the Son of Man would come, it says, to rule and reign on earth. And Matthew 24:36 says, Yeshua is saying, but about the day or the hour, no one knows. Listen to this, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
It's the Son doesn't even know the time when the Father's going to say, go get your bride, go rule and reign. You've earned it by your death and your resurrection. Isn't that interesting? And I'm thinking of in Acts 1, the disciples say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel, right? This is it. You're going to rule and reign. And he says, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times that only the Father has set in his authority. So even in heaven, in the wisdom of the triunity of God, the Father has reserved knowledge about when he's going to send Jesus back so that Jesus doesn't even know it.
It is so interesting. Certainly the disciples thought the time was now.
Right.
We're going to get our reward.
This is it.
We're going to have our mansions along the Sea of Galilee, along Kinneret. But it wasn't the time.
Exactly.
Far from it.
And yet, this passage also says, actually it's a few verses before, Jesus says something that sounds contradictory to that. No one knows the day or the hour, but he says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Okay, as soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things in this whole chapter and so many other passages in the Gospels, are Jesus saying, here's the things you're going to see. And just like when you see the evidence on the fig tree, you understand the season you're about to enter. When you see these things happen on earth, you understand the season we're entering.
Right.
That's the Son of Man.
And again, the exhortation, pay attention to these things.
That's right.
These things do matter.
Right.
And if you want to walk with God, you should be alert, awake, and participating.
Exactly.
So Ezra, give us just a breakdown. There's some good, really some good things and some not so good things.
Right. Well, let's start with the positive.
Okay.
Let's go with the good first, okay?
I'm with you.
So one of the best things is this idea. It's a scriptural promise. Jesus said to his disciples, this gospel of the kingdom, okay? And let's pause right there. The gospel, evangelion in Greek, it literally means the proclamation of the good news of the Messiah. So the proclamation of the good news that we have a Savior, we have a Messiah, will be preached to all nations. And again, in the Greek there, it's all ethnos. It's not necessarily all the political nations that make up the nations of the world today. It's to every people, tribe, and tongue. And it says, and then the end will come. So the promise Jesus is making is, you want to see me come back, here's something that has to happen first. The gospel will go forth to every people, tribe, and tongue on earth.
So it answers a question that we're asked often, that I'm asked often,
right,
which is, what about all these people that have never heard before?
Exactly.
There is a clear statement in that verse that before he returns, everyone will have the opportunity to hear in their own language.
Exactly. No one will be without excuse.
So Ezra, there's been a lot of headway made in this area.
Right.
So the gospel, so this is fulfilled.
Exactly.
Or so this will be fulfilled.
Right.
The reason that this verse is so important to me personally is because it expresses the heart of God for the lost, that none should perish, that everyone should have an opportunity to embrace the gospel. And it also makes the gospel the most relevant message in the last days.
Exactly. And I'm thinking of the verse that says, God isn't slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Jesus, why haven't you come back by now? Look at the world. It's going nuts. It's because I'm not willing that any should perish. I'm giving everyone a chance. And part of that giving everyone a chance is that the good news of the Messiah, of Jesus, would come to them in a language they can understand. We're partnering with so many Bible translation and Bible scripture proclamation ministries around the world, Jonathan, and we keep hearing within a year or two the same number. People are estimating, missions experts, Bible translation experts are estimating that by the year 2033, the scriptures, a gospel proclamation, will exist in every language on the face of the earth. It's only a few years away. For two millennia, no one's been able to say that, and yet here we are.
It's an amazing undertaking. This will be the first time in world history when the gospel will be available in every known tongue.
Exactly. And so Jesus' promise begins to become 3D, doesn't it? Lord, how could all these people on earth who speak all these different languages ever hear? We can't travel that much. We can't run that fast. And yet here we are. We've arrived at the day.
Ezra, I've shared this quite a bit, but the motivation for me, the call actually for me to move to Russia, came about on a flight home from Russia, where the Lord spoke to me through Matthew 24:14, and he said, the gospel must be proclaimed to every nation, to every people group.
Right.
And I thought of the statement that we read in Romans 1:16, where Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, but it's first for the Jew. And I believe there's that there's a linkage with the gospel going to every nation and the gospel going to the Jew first in every nation.
It's the power of God to salvation for all who believe. Romans 1:16 says, first for the Jew. The word in Greek we know is proton. It's not necessarily sequentially first, it's necessarily first. There's something in the providence of God that says if the good news of the Messiah goes to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, something's going to be catalyzed among every nation and region.
That was enough to draw me to actually relocate to Russia. And I believe it's a distinction of our ministry that we go to many, many different nations, scattered nations in remote parts of the world, with the first requirement of proclaiming the gospel, but we're always looking to go to the Jew first.
That's right.
And I think you may not know Jewish people, you may not have Jewish people in your neighborhood or that you work with, but the gospel priority to the Jew first is part of a last days scenario of the gospel going to all nations. What happens when the Jewish people hear the gospel and respond? It brings life from the dead. It releases something for the other nations. So I'm glad we started with this. This is first and foremost the proclamation of the gospel to every nation. Everyone has an opportunity to hear the good news of eternal life before Jesus returns to this earth. We've only just started this conversation, but we need to step away for a minute. As we discuss when Jesus will return, it reminds me of how urgent it is for us to continue to share the gospel with scattered Jewish communities around the world. God wants his people to return to embrace their Messiah, and we want to ask you to consider partnering with us to share Yeshua, Jesus, with these people around the world. So take a look and see how you can help us today.
Ready for Jesus' return? For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice, Jonathan will send you his book, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days, so you can be aware of the seasons and false teachings. We'll also include two complete audio CDs that explain the role of Israel in last days prophecy. Even better, become a new Shalom partner. With your first gift of $30 a month, we'll send you that book and set of two CDs, plus this fully functional ram's horn shofar and wooden stand. Displayed in your home, it will inspire you and your family to respond to God's call in your own lives and remind you of how your partnership with Jewish Voice is essentially important in this landmark year of 2023. Call this toll-free number today or mail your gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. On behalf of the many Jewish people whose lives will be touched by your gift, thank you so much.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking today about the return of Jesus. No man knows the hour, no man knows the date. In fact, Ezra, as you were saying, only the Father knows.
Only the Father.
Not even the Son knows, but we should know the seasons.
That's
we
right.
don't know the time or the hour. We should be alert and aware and participating in the work of the kingdom as the season grows closer.
Absolutely.
And we talked about one specific area, which is the gospel, the good news.
The good news is
we began with the good news.
Yeah.
Must be proclaimed to every nation, to every ethnic group, to every tongue, to every language before the end takes place, before Jesus can return. And that's in process. You gave us a date of 2033, which in one sense is right around the corner.
Absolutely.
Right?
In the sweep of history, right? For millennia, people passionate about seeing Jesus return really couldn't say with any confidence when all the people groups on the face of the earth would have heard the proclamation of the good news that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and yet now we can see it coming in just a few years from now. What an exciting time to be alive.
I think it's the clearest statement concerning the last days that exists, that
sure.
This gospel must be proclaimed
right.
to every people.
Right.
Before the end will come. That's Amen. The clearest statement. But there's others.
There's some not so good news, okay? In as much as the kingdom of God is being proclaimed, and there's this remnant of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb coming into the kingdom. Jonathan, there's also dark times coming before the last days. There's some not so good news. I'm looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll just begin in verse 1, okay? Here's the not-so-good news. But mark this, Paul says to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. We could do a whole show on that. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. It goes on, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he goes on warning Timothy, have nothing to do with these people. But it specifically says, in the last days, in essence, as we get closer to the return of Jesus to rule and reign on earth from Jerusalem, this is the condition of man, to turn further and further away from any kind of allegiance or obedience to God. I mean, it's almost, if you read this, it's a godless society. And Jonathan, many might say, I feel like every day in the news, it's more and more of a godless society that we live in.
Yeah, I think it's obvious just about anywhere in the world you go, especially
sure.
the Western world, that the condition of the world is growing more evil. And there's
sure.
so many examples of this.
Right.
I don't know if the U.S. is under judgment. I'm asked this a lot. But certainly we're under some rebuke of sorts. We really have each turned our own way to our own
right.
way. The question, Ezra, though, is if you look at the scope of history, is this worse than other times? Is it worse than the time of Noah?
Sure.
Is it worse than the time of Abraham, where God ended up destroying Sodom and Gomorrah?
Mm-hmm.
And it's vile when God himself arrives in the city, they demand to bring out the visitors so
right.
they can actually engage in sexual activity.
Right.
That's pretty disgusting.
Right.
And then, of course, in the time of Noah, God grieved that he had created man because the intent of man was evil all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a history. Look at the Roman Empire, the different empires of history.
Yeah.
What's different about those periods of history than today?
Yeah, great question. Before I give you one example, I'm thinking about these days. You know, I'm just picking up on what you shared. That same idea about the days of Noah is also in Matthew 24 that we were teaching on just a few minutes ago, right? Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour, but I'll tell you what it's going to be like. It's going to be like the days of Noah. What does Jesus mean when he says that? He's saying, it says men are going to be marrying and giving in marriage. Society is going to be going on unaware, and yet it's a godless society, right? As you said, God was grieved that he created man because life is going on while Noah's building the ark. Everybody thinks things are fine, but it's a godless
yeah.
society.
It's godless, it's evil, and it's violent.
Right. And one of the examples, Jonathan, is of the widespread, I'm going to say pressure, even demand for acceptance that if somebody wants to change their gender, that's perfectly fine. Change your body. Make yourself from a man to a woman to a man. And why is that kind of a new level of godlessness in society? Because I think it's a direct attack on the very nature of us as created beings. Genesis 1:27, right? God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I think the pinnacle of evil in society is, in essence, to raise our fist at God and say, you won't rule over me. And this issue of accepting changes in gender, Jonathan, is just an example of saying it's an attack at the very bedrock of who we are.
Yeah, I think so too, Ezra. I think that the world's become a smaller place.
Sure.
And so that the condition of the world is changing more uniformly because of media. I think the attack against the family, I think the attack against morality, biblical morality, may very well have reached the highest level in certainly in my lifetime.
Right.
And I would venture to say in the history of the world, with the exception of the destruction of the world.
So absolutely.
When we talk about seasons, again, we don't know the hour. We don't know if this is in a year or 5 years or 10 years or whenever, but we know the season is upon us.
That's right. That's right. And the challenge is not to be deceived.
Ezra, there's a verse that, a chapter actually of Scripture that's been going around in my head for a few months now.
Okay.
And I think it directly relates to this topic. Mm-hmm. And it's Psalm chapter 2, which is clearly a messianic psalm. And it says, why do the nations conspire?
Right.
And the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth. So this is the rulers of the earth. This is the people in authority, some of them that are in the dark shadows.
Right.
You hear about the Illuminati and the different groups, right, that are, there's all kinds of conspiracies, but there's no doubt that there are power brokers that are rising up against the things of God, and they're plotting. The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, which of course is the Messiah.
Sure.
And the return of the Messiah and the rule and reign of Messiah.
Exactly.
Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. You are my son. Today I have become your father. This is a statement of fact that will come to pass. God is outside the realm of before, during, or after. He's outside the realm of time. And there are evil men and women and forces, principalities and powers, that are scheming against the things of God. And I think we're seeing this. This is part of the condition of the earth.
That's right.
And not that it hasn't existed in history, but I think that there is a collaboration that has probably reached a new level of plotting against the things of God.
And yet the Lord laughs, because he will be victorious.
A new reset. Well, God has his own reset button, and right. Guess who wins? Well, Ezra and I are going to pray for your needs in just a minute, but our announcer is first going to come on to share some incredible opportunities on how you can support Jewish Voice medical outreaches. Your giving today will allow our ministry to continue to share the gospel to scattered tribes throughout the world, the scattered tribes of Israel. So please consider partnering with us today so we can keep these important humanitarian outreaches going. Listen to this short message, and Ezra and I will be right back to pray with you.
Ready for Jesus' return? For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice, Jonathan will send you his book, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days, so you can be aware of the seasons and false teachings. We'll also include two complete audio CDs that explain the role of Israel in last days prophecy. Even better, become a new Shalom partner. With your first gift of $30 a month, we'll send you that book and set of two CDs, plus this fully functional ram's horn shofar and wooden stand. Displayed in your home, it will inspire you and your family to respond to God's call in your own lives, and remind you of how your partnership with Jewish Voice is essentially important in this landmark year of 2023. Call this toll-free number today, or mail your gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. On behalf of the many Jewish people whose lives will be touched by your gift, thank you so much.
You know, the closer we get to the return of the Messiah, the more evil, the more deception, the more grace. So yes, there's a lot of warfare going on. There's a lot of warfare going on right now. We're seeing it in the letters and emails we're receiving from you a lot of challenges. The good news is God is still on the throne. He answers prayer. He's a God who meets every need according to his riches and glory in the Messiah, and he cares about you. About you. He cares about your family. And if you call out to him, he is there to hear. His ear is not too dull that he won't listen. And he's made promises in his word that he is faithful to keep. And so we want to agree in prayer with you. The hardest times, during the hardest times, the greatest grace abounds. Listen to what I'm just saying, okay? Listen to what I just said. The greatest grace abounds. So we just want to pray over you right now. We're going to join our faith with yours and declare over you salvation for your household. Amen. In the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name. Divine provision for you and your household, in Jesus' name. Amen. Healing, health, wholeness for your physical body, health and wholeness for your emotions, health and wholeness for your spiritual condition, restoration of faith and hope and zeal for the things of God. Fight the good fight of faith. I declare it over you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because in the end, if you persevere, you will win. Amen. You will win in Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua. Now, if you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer request right on our website. Our team here at Jewish Voice is committed to reading your prayer request, praying for you by name, and we believe in the power of prayer. We care about you, but more importantly, God cares about you. As we close our program today, Ezra and I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is something we're all called to do. The Lord exhorts us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and then declares, may they prosper who love thee. So please pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Today they're tied to your redemption. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness and Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.
Join us in celebrating Israel's 75th anniversary by participating in our virtual 5K, April 24th to the 30th. Register now at jewishvoice.org/blessisrael.